Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
If you would like to follow along with me in your Bible, I will be bringing a message from Romans chapter 2. And in this chapter, I would like for us to look at who needs to be justified before God, and how a man or a woman is justified before God. The Apostle Paul is very clear about this in Romans chapter 2. If you look with me at verse 12, he wrote, "For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." The Jews were given the law. God gave the Jews His law, and the Gentiles were not given the law. But Paul said, either way, all men are going to die in their sin. He said, if a man was never given the law, but he sinned against it, he's going to die in his sin. And if a man was given the law and he sinned against it, he's going to die in his sin. No matter what, all men and women are going to die in their sin against God. Verse 13, he said, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." That's a clear verse, and that's an important verse. People hear the law all the time. Well, now you know the Bible says. That's what people say. Well, he said, not the hearers of the law are justified, but the doers of the law. Verse 14, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." What he's saying is the law is written on every man and woman's heart. Whether a person physically knows every commandment that God has given in His Word or not, God has written on the mind, the thoughts, the conscience, the heart, right from wrong. Men and women know that, right from wrong. And he said, whether a man knows the law perfectly or not, he's going to be judged by his conscience. A man knows when he shouldn't be doing something. Verse 16, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." God is going to judge the secrets of men. That's something we must understand. God is not going to just judge the deeds of men. He's going to judge all the secrets of men. I have secrets. You have secrets. They're not good. And God's going to judge all the secrets of men. I'll tell you this. What is on the outside, the things that we have done that other people can see, what's on the outside, that's the least of our problems. We feel guilty about something we did out in the open that others can know about. That's the least of our problems. God is going to judge a man by what he sees on the inside, on the heart, on the conscience, on the mind. Verse 17, it says, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God." He said, you say you're one of His. You say you have His favor. You're one of His people. And most everybody does who believes Christianity. Oh yeah, they think they're one of God's people. Verse 18 says, "And knowest His will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law." He said, you believe and you say that you know what He demands. You believe you're in His favor, one of His people, and you believe you know what He demands of us and what the desires are of His heart because you've seen it in His law, seen it in the Scripture. Verse 19, "And art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. He said, you're confident that you have it all figured out. You have it all right. And everybody else needs to listen to you if they want to go from darkness to light. Because you are, verse 20, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. He said, you get up in pulpits and you see yourself to be an instructor, and this is what you say to people, you better stop sinning. You stand up there telling people, oh, you better stop sinning. If you want to be saved now, you better listen to me. I'll instruct you. I know these things. If you want to be saved, you better stop sinning. Now, this is what he's about to say. Do you think you have stopped sinning? To the man who stands up and says, I'm going to teach everybody. I'm going to instruct everybody in the way of God, in His law. He said, do you think that you have stopped sinning? Look at verse 21. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, he said, dost thou steal? Do you steal? Anything. People say, well, no, I'm not a thief. I don't steal. He means anything. He's talking about secret things right now. You know, men, sometimes they won't put in all 100% effort into their job, and they'll be a little lazy on the job. Well, that's stealing time and money from the employer. Our Lord said, whatever you do, you better do it with all your might. Tiny little things that men and women never think about. Secret things. But infinitely more condemning than any physical thing, he's asking the question, are you not stealing the glory away from God? Men stand up and talk about what they know and what they do. And he said, are you not stealing the glory away from God? Verse 22, thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Do you commit adultery? He's talking about in the heart. A man can say, well, no, I don't go around. I'm a married man. I don't go around committing adultery on my wife. He's talking about in the heart. He said, do you commit adultery? We know the answer to that. We know the answer to that. This flesh is weak. This flesh is sinful. Verse 22 goes on to say, thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Man's own flesh and man's own will. Man believes he has a free will. Man believes that he is the decision maker in this thing. That's his greatest idol. Himself, his own ability, his own works, his own decision, his own will. Man worships himself. That's the truth. Men and women worship themselves. You know that so, don't you? Just turn the TV on and watch men and women. They worship themselves. All flesh does. So we said in verse 23, thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, blasphemed. And that's what self-righteous, not God-righteous, but self-righteous, man-centered, not Christ-centered, but man-centered. And you'll hear, if you listen to a man preaching, you'll hear the difference in Christ-centered and man-centered preaching. You listen, is the man up there constantly trying to instruct the flesh on what it needs to do and always talking about man and how you can man? Or is he talking about Christ? Is the message about what man needs to do, or is the message about what Christ has done? That's the difference in man-centered and Christ-centered. But man-centered religion is blasphemy. It's blasphemy against God. It's lies on the truth of God. It's unbelief. It's blasphemy. Verse 25 says, for circumcision verily profiteth if you keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. This is what he said. This is what that means. To be a child of God, you can't just please men, which is what most everybody's doing in religion today, just trying to go around and look good to other men. You can't just please men by what they can see on the outside. You have to please God by what He can see on the inside. And I'm going to tell you this, that's a tall order. That is a tall order. Now, we might as well get honest about this, because God sees everything. God does not stop at the skin of a man. God sees straight into the soul. He sees your mind. He watches your thoughts. He knows the motive of your heart. He already sees it. So we might as well get honest to each other about this, because we don't have a choice but to be honest before God. To be a child of God, to be accepted by God, to be justified in His sight, to where He says, justified, you're one of my people. You have to be perfect inside and out. Perfect. From the day you're born till the day you die. Perfect. That is not only a tall order, we can say that's a tall order, but if a man ever sees the truth of his condition, his inner condition, what he was born into, then he's going to realize that's an impossible order. That's not just a tall order. With man, it's impossible. What God demands is impossible. So the purpose of this message is for us to gain an understanding of why the Scripture commands us to do something that we cannot do. As you hear the Word preached and as you read the Word, you're going to realize that this Word commands you to do things that you cannot do. And it's going to say, if you do this just once, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And you're going to know in your mind, I've done that. So here's the purpose of the message. We want to see, why does the Scripture command us to do something that we can't do? Why does the Scripture demand that we have to do this in one place, one location, and then in another location it tells us plainly, you can't do this. You better, you can't. You can't. Is there any hope for us? That's what we'll get to at the end. Is there any hope for us? Because in verse 13, we read it a second ago, he said, not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. To be justified, you have to be doers of the law. And if you look at Romans 3, it's just across the page in my Bible. Romans 3, verse 19 says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. In order to be justified, we must perfectly, inside and out, do all of the stipulations and all of the conditions that God has given to us in His law. But in the process of trying to do that, men see that and then they try to do that. In the process, though, it will be proven that we can't do it. We cannot do it. Just try in your mind, resolve, say, that's it. I'm not going to think any more bad thoughts. I'm not going to have any more angry thoughts. I'm not going to have any more lustful thoughts. See how it works out for you. The more we try to do the law, the more our sin against it will be exposed to us. Now, when our Lord was here on this earth, He told us some of the things that the law said. He told us some of the things that God requires for us to be saved. And to break those things or to fall short of those things means you can't be saved. He said the greatest commandment that there was to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. And to not do that, which no man does, but to not do that means we can't be saved. He said if we don't love our neighbor in the exact same way that we love ourselves. Really think about that. That doesn't just mean mow his grass every now and then. If we don't truly love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves, we can't be saved. No man does. No man has a heart to truly empty all of his bank accounts and go deposit them in his neighbor's bank account. If you loved him as you love yourself, you would. But man doesn't. He said if we've ever gotten mad one time, we can't be saved. Every man has. Every man has. He said if lust has ever entered our heart one time, we can't be saved. He said the only souls that will be allowed to enter into the gates of heaven will be those that have clean hands, never done anything wrong, and a pure heart, never had a bad thought, never had a bad feeling, a bad motive. Who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, never gone after the emptiness, never desired the emptiness of this world and of this flesh. He said, nor sworn deceitfully, never lied. That's what God requires to stand in His presence. But here's the truth of our condition, all right? If you look back again at Romans 3, verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's the truth of our condition. Verse 11 says, there's none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. None. So my hope for this message is, number one, that we might see Christ, that we might see the glory of Christ and glorify Him for what He's done. And number two, that we might learn something about this Scripture. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you what it is. This is one critical, important thing, but glorious thing to know and always remember about the Scripture, about the Word of God. If the Lord will enable us to get a hold of this, we'll get a hold of it all. All right, here's the key to it all. When it comes to the Scripture, when it comes to the demands and the stipulations of the Word of God, and when it comes to the truth of the gospel, if you want to get to the heart of the gospel, here it is. Christ did it all. If we can ever get a hold of that, if God will ever reveal to us what that means, we'll have it all. When the Scripture says the law must be kept, but man can't keep the law. Scripture says the law must be kept. Scripture says man can't keep the law. But it must be kept. Man can't keep it, but it must be kept. Because if it's not kept, man is going to suffer eternal condemnation and death. But the problem for man is he has never, not one time ever, come close to keeping one commandment in the law. Not one thing that God requires of him. People think they have because they think they have in the flesh. God's not only looking on the flesh. God's looking on the heart. What God sees is so much deeper than what we've done in the skin, in the flesh, in the deed. Man will never be able to satisfy God, but the law must be kept. It must be kept. Every time you see that in the Scripture, remember this. Christ did it all. Christ did it all. If you can walk away from this, remembering these four words, you will have gotten a hold of the gospel, and so will I have. If we both can enter into this, Christ did it all. Christ did it all for us. Christ did it all as us. As us. It's called substitution. Substitution is the key to it all. Substitution is the answer to it all. Substitution is everything. It's everything. Substitution is the gospel. If somebody wants to know, if you want to cut to the core of it, what is the gospel? In one word, substitution. Two words, substitution, satisfaction. Substitution means Christ trading our places with us, taking our place. That's what substitution is, trading places. Trading places with us. And then once He traded places with us, as us, earning for us, as us, a perfect record of holiness before God, He satisfied God. Substitution, satisfaction. Dying when the law said die. Dying when the law said you must die. Living when the law says live. Christ did it all. In Romans chapter 8, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's verse 1. Verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, it couldn't justify me. My flesh would not allow the law to justify me. God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, by a sacrifice for sin, that's what that means, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law, the perfection of the law, might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That trading of places. Christ took our position so that we might take His. The moment God opens our eyes to substitution, the Scriptures make sense. Let me repeat that, okay? This is so true. The moment God opens our eyes to substitution, Christ coming and taking our place, trading places with His people, and doing for them what they could not do for themselves, the moment God reveals that to us, the Scriptures make sense. All of a sudden, they make sense. Seeing how God's Word can say, you're guilty, but you're not guilty, all at the same time. Chargeable, but not chargeable, all at the same time. Condemned to die, but free to go, all at the same time. How? When the time of judgment came, Christ traded places with us. In Him we died, we were condemned, we suffered by Him, through Him, because of us, because He took that for us in our place. We're free to go. We're not chargeable. He was not chargeable, and He gave us His place. Therefore, in Him we're not chargeable. He made Himself to be sin for us who knew no sin. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The Scripture clearly lays out what it demands of us and clearly proves to us that we cannot fulfill what it demands of us. It does that to point us to Christ. That's the whole reason. That's the whole reason. All of this word leads us to Christ. It tells us what we cannot do to point us to Christ. All roads lead to Christ. In Romans 8, verse 13, it says, "If you live after the flesh, you shall die." What that means is if you try to earn heaven through the deeds of your flesh, you'll never make it. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, if you kill all of your own efforts and look to Christ for His efforts, you shall live. You'll live. Christ did it all. That's what that means. Christ did it all. Substitution is the key to it all. Our Lord told His disciples in Luke 24, all of these words, cover to cover, these are the words that testify of Me. They're all pointing to Me. It is all concerning Me. The Scriptures, if you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's constantly saying, our Lord did this, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Our Lord did that, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Everything He did was to fulfill the Scripture. He said in Matthew 5, don't think that I came to destroy the law. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. I came to fulfill it. And that's what Christ did. Christ did it all. He did it all. Everything that God demanded of us, every dot of the I and every cross of the T, Christ did it all. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. What do I have to do to be saved? Look to Christ. He did it all. He is the fulfillment. He is the completer of the law for the righteousness, the perfection, the holiness of His people. Seeing that brings a clear understanding of the Scripture. It brings a clear understanding of why Christ came, and it brings a clear understanding of the gospel, the good news of the gospel. Christ came and traded places with His people and accomplished everything that they needed to accomplish before God so that they could earn heaven. And He took everything that they were against God and He died with it and put it away, and now it's gone. In that, we see and we give thanks. Christ did it all. Till next week, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.